There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com or email us your ghost stories, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Welcome to another episode of the program. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
I've gotten very social media, I want to say savvy, because I've always known how to do it. Mm-hmm. I did do it for a while, kind of pulled back from it, but I'm like, I should probably do more of it. So, we have, obviously, Facebook. Our Facebook page has always been pretty active.
Uh-huh.
Twitter's been up there. I just haven't been, you know, super active on it. But I wanted to let everybody know about where those accounts are, if you are on the platforms, how to follow us. Facebook, obviously, Real Ghost Stories Online. Twitter is at Ghost Story Radio. Instagram, that's a new one.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm going to do just kind of a lot of just creepy photos and stuff. When I am out and about and I see something creepy, I'm taking a picture and putting it there.
Okay.
So if you want to see that stuff, it's at Ghost Podcast. And then Snapchat, which I've really just this over the weekend discovered how to use the filters. And I was blown away and just been kind of like a little child going, look at this.
You've had too much fun with the filters.
I've had a lot of fun. Like, I get it. I get why that's different now. It's the filter thing that people dig.
Uh-huh.
That's what seems to make it. Anyhow, Snapchat at Ghost Podcast there. So lots of ways to join us on social media. And yes, believe it or not, I will very likely respond to you if you send me a message on like Snapchat or something. I was talking to somebody on Snapchat the other night. Just being, you know, an idiot 34-year-old going, how does this work? And one of our listeners filled me in on how to kind of function on it. I'm like, oh, okay, great. And then he sent me a message the following day going, I can't believe I was talking to you last night on here. It's like, we're just people.
We're just weird people.
We're just weird people trying to learn the technologies. So anyway, that's where everything is at. And I'm trying to be a lot more active on all those. So feel free to follow. And the weirdness, even outside of the show, all the days of the week, as
all the time,
as Harper would say. It's not this week or next week. It's all the days of the week. And there's lots of fun pictures of them up there as well. So let's get into our first story today at Real Ghost Stories Online. And it's a caller that comes into us. And let's take a listen. Hi. This button here. Hi.
Hi, Jenny. Hi, Tony. This is Cynthia Klepping calling from Whidbey Island in the beautiful Puget Sound. I have been listening to you for about a year, and I have been a proud EPP member since last March. Love the show. I'm calling to share with you a couple of my many ghost stories. Here in Whidbey Island, we have a live theater called the Whidbey Playhouse, and years ago, I was on the board of directors there, and one Sunday when we had met in the evening, we were sitting on a table in the basement of the theater, and the group of us were sitting at a long table with the president of the board at the head, and I was sitting to her left, and we were sitting at an angle to each other where we both could see in the corner of our eyes out of my right eye and her left eye, the stairs that descend into the basement from the outdoors. And as we were having this board meeting, I became aware of a man walking down the steps into the theater, and she looked at the same time that I looked, and there was nothing there. And she looks at me, and her eyes get big, and my eyes widened, and we didn't say anything about it to each other. Then a couple of weeks later, the president said to me, "What did you see?" And I said, "Well, I saw a man coming down the steps." And she says, "Well, I saw a column of black smoke." And so I'm wondering if maybe the difference in what we saw was based on our perceptions. I myself have been involved in the paranormal since I was a young girl, and I practice witchcraft. So perhaps that had something to do with why I maybe had a clearer view of whatever it was that we saw. I directed a play at the Playhouse, A Child's Christmas in Wales, for a Christmas show a few years back. And there's one scene in the theater, or in the play, when Dylan Thomas, as a boy, is telling a ghost story. Now, in the UK, it's, I think, fairly traditional to tell ghost stories at Christmas time. At least in Wales, it is. And so we were practicing, we were rehearsing up in the theater space, and there were our two audience entrances to the theater. Now, we were practicing on the floor of the theater because another show had the stage, and they weren't there, but their set was up, and we didn't want to mess with that. So we were practicing on the ground, and the seats had been set so that they were sideways, because that show before ours was in thrust, where you actually come out into the audience on the floor. So it was set that way, and we were rehearsing in that space, and there are these two entrances on either side for the audience to come up and in. And the doors to both entrances were propped open with a wedge, right? The young man who was playing Dylan Thomas was telling this ghost story. It was part of the script. And he was getting really into it, and I don't remember what the story was, but it was a traditional Welsh ghost story, and he's getting really into it, and working up to the climax of this ghost story. And I was filming this at the time, so yes, I have it on video. And right as he gets to the climax of this ghost story, one of the doors to the stairway slams shut, and the whole cast and crew go like that, and we kind of all jumped, and then we all had a laugh about it. And was it just that one of the wedges gave way at the perfect timing, or was it the ghost watching our ghost story and thinking, maybe now's the right time to let them know that I'm here, where they all can see that I'm here, or hear that I'm here? But it was really very surprising that happened, and I still have it on my computer somewhere. Maybe I should send it to you. But those are my two ghost stories from the Whidbey Playhouse here on Whidbey Island. I have lots of others, obviously. Like I said, I've had a very paranormal life that I can share with you at another time, but that's a Christmas ghost story or two for you. And love the show. You just keep having marvelous shows, and I want to tell you how grateful I am for it. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
I do think that it's a matter of how, I guess, skilled you are with your sensitivity, because it's so interesting how two people can see something but see completely different things.
Sure. Do you think the Playhouse has a ghost in it?
I do. Especially since they both saw something. And I think it was probably the ghost that did that with the door, because they already knew something was there.
I think you're almost hard-pressed sometimes to find an old Playhouse that's not haunted. I think that's more of the challenge than the other way around. And why is that? I don't know. I mean, we've talked about so many different theories on that, and they all make sense.
Yeah.
It's just it's a place where... if you want to find a ghost, that's a good place to start. Mm-hmm. It really is. So thank you for sharing that that experience with us. We, of course, greatly appreciate that here at the show. Giving away a bunk bed bell every single week. There's two ways to get a bunk bed bell. If you sign up for that yearly EPP membership, you email bunkbedbell at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let me know you signed up, and then we can do that. That is limited to U.S. residents only, by the way. Just shipping is insane. It's insane in the U.S., and it's just mad crazy to do it even to Canada. So that's where I'm sorry we have to limit that. I can't like take massive losses to send them across the ocean.
Has the post office asked you what the hell's going on with all these bells that you keep sending?
I show up once a week with a large box of
you
bells.
Do.
Hi, I got more bells. No, they just keep giving me those stickers because it's like I get a tracking number for mm-hmm. all of them. And she greatly appreciates me putting them on rather than her having to do it all there at the
sure.
post office. So I do that. But No, she hasn't asked what we, you know.
Because like, the package is ding.
I just say it's a promotional item, so.
Okay.
I'm sure they probably get a lot of weird stuff. We're probably the least of the weird, you know. Although if I had to explain what it was, oh, it's a bunk bed bell, you know.
Then, yeah.
It'd be like, what the hell is that? Well, there's a lot of stories of haunted bunk beds, and I ring a bell every time we say the word bunk bed. Okay, sir, can you please start using a different post office, please? Mm-hmm. That the explanation would.
It would.
But just saying promotional item, that's. They're cool with that. So anyway, sorry I can't get them overseas, but if you're a U.S. resident, you can certainly get one that way with a yearly EPP membership. Or when you renew, let us know that that's another way to get it as you renew the yearly EPP or go from monthly to yearly. There's ways of doing it that way. Also, we're giving one away a week to a lucky person who shares the love of our show on social media. So Twitter, Facebook, or a review on iTunes. Share one of our posts, make your own post about the show and link back to it. But be sure to use the hashtag Ghost Podcast when you do that. That's the only way I'm going to be able to find you is you have to use the hashtag. You can't just press share. Share it with a comment and Ghost Podcast. Then I can find that and we can pick a winner every single week for another bunk bed bill. So a couple ways to get them right now.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed how many are going as gifts this year.
Yeah,
I've gotten so many people going, oh, I got the subscription and me and my family listen and we share the EPP membership, but I'm going to put this under the tree or in a stocking and lots of giving of the gift of ghosts. Uh-huh. So that's pretty cool. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi, let's hear your story.
I've been listening to your show here the last couple of days and I've had a couple of unusual experiences where I felt middle of the night someone stroking my hair. One time I thought I saw my friend sitting up in bed next to me, but actually it wasn't her and it was this dark figure. Both those things went away with some prayer and no problem. But actually the one I wanted to share was this happened in daylight and I just had me thinking about it again and it wasn't scary, and I guess I'd say it'd be more like I always wondered if it was an angel that I'd come in contact with. This was in San Diego where I grew up, and it happened on a hiking, jogging trail, a very busy one, around 11 o'clock in the morning near one of the bays in San Diego. And what was unique about the terrain was it had a starting and ending point. There's no way in or off of the trail other than these two, point A to point B or vice versa. You had to go to one of these points to get on the trail. And on either side, it was covered by a fence that kept you in on one side because there's a roadway and thick vegetation. So there's really any other exit points other than point A to point B and vice versa. And at the time, and this was about 20 years ago, I was wrestling with issues of my sexual identity and my faith as a Christian and just really having a time where I was praying and wrestling and talking to God while on this trail. And I remember this gentleman, he looked to be about probably in his late 50s, early 60s, a little bit of a scruffy beard, salt and pepper, had a hat on. And what was unusual that I remembered about him is he had one of these portable collapsible bikes that you fold up if you needed to and like get on a bus. And for some reason, he stopped and started engaging in conversation as I was kind of in the middle of this time of prayer. There are a lot of people going by, you know, probably 10, 20 people visible at any time. So I didn't feel unsafe or anything. But this man was so disarming and so compassionate. He got me talking about what was going on in my life. And I distinctly remember him as we kind of finished up this really kind of about 5-10 minute deep conversation about what I was going through. He says to me, he's all, well, Rachel, he uses my name, you just got to remember, it's not where you walk, but how. Well, I hadn't given the guy my name. He takes off and goes around a bend, and I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't tell this guy my name. So I go running at a full sprint, and at the time I was a pretty fast runner, I didn't see him. And I started asking people, describing the guy, nobody saw him. I ran all the way, quarter mile out of sprint, in the direction to get to the end, point A and point B, remember? The guy wasn't there. And I've always wondered if that was an actual person and I just missed him, or if that was like an angel who came to talk to me. I mean, I was in a great time of need, and it's just very odd. Not really a ghost story, but it was definitely an unusual story. I can't believe it didn't happen to me. And they're definitely not normal. It was definitely a supernatural experience. And so I know it's not normally what you all have been sharing so far. I've been listening to you guys because you're scary, but I suppose people can be visited by good supernatural forces. What do you think? Thanks for listening. Bye.
Never. They're all evil and bad. That's it.
No, not at all. I mean, we get lots of stories like this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it could be a ghost story. It might not be, but I kind of think it might be because of the whole he knew her name without her ever sharing it. He just maybe kind of tipped his hand there.
I think anytime, whether I think angel stories certainly fall into ghost stories, mm-hmm. if it's an angel or what. And it's just because it's just, I think ghost is just the word for entity that's not living human.
Mm-hmm.
And that covers everything. And then from there, you get on the ghost family tree.
Sure.
And then you can get into, you know, shadow people, angels, demons, everything else out there. So I think it certainly is a ghost story. As far as, you know, what it was, who it was, you're probably right on the level of angel. I have to wonder sometimes, though, when people have those situations where it seems just like a person walks up, kind of gives a piece of advice, seems to know your name for whatever reason, mm-hmm. and then they're gone. You know, could that be also something working in tandem with the living? Like for a moment, this person just happened to feel like I should say this and then they move on. You know, we have listeners who sometimes step up to people like, I have to tell you this. And then for all they know,
they're just relaying the message.
Yeah. And then they go on with their way and the person, it takes a moment to kind of sink in. What on earth did this person just say to me? Mm-hmm. And they go and try and find him and they're gone. And it may not be that the person was disappeared. They just got in their car and went off to Burger King, you know.
Paranormal either way.
Sure, exactly. I mean, the fact that the information and it got there, that he knew the name, paranormal, yes. Mm-hmm. Was it something or someone that literally disappeared? Hard to say. Could it have been? Sure. Stranger things have happened.
Sure.
In our show. So certainly very in the realms of paranormal. So thank you for listening. And she was saying that she hasn't heard stories like that on her show. We have had quite a few,
yeah.
But if you just kind of started listening, you may not have gotten to them yet. So as Little Harper would say after watching Finding Dory, just keep listening, just keep listening.
Yeah.
That's what was going through my mind. Listen to, I was going to say, I watch far too many children's shows, which I really don't. I just hear a lot of them.
Sure.
In the background, like Sparkle Spice.
Oh, God. I hate that.
I don't know what the hell that is.
It's a YouTube thing.
I mean, I know what it is, but what the hell?
I don't know.
If you have little children, I would love to hear if anyone else knows what this is. And I'm trying to figure out the attraction to it. It's a YouTube video or channel. It has a lot of views and a lot of subscribers. So kids, for some reason, are drawn to this thing. But it's like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like a person with a video camera and toys, and they're playing with the toys on camera. Just moving them around and stuff and
they
giving
are.
Them voices?
They are, but, I mean, there's times where they'll be like, and what color is this one? You know, mm-hmm. and almost like trying to teach little kids colors and stuff.
Some are, yeah, some seem educational, some seem just kind of
weird,
borderline crazy. Yeah.
So I don't know what it is. I haven't seen anything inappropriate.
No.
So I just let her watch it.
Yeah, not inappropriate. It's kind of like, this is bizarre. I wonder what the, but it's something with their minds at that age that is, you know, I suppose it's toys. It's watching the toys in action. I wonder if it's along the lines of how, do you remember, and I'll tell you what I did, so I don't know if you did this too, but I always used to love, you know, just looking at catalogs, looking at like the Sears catalog and the JCPenney catalog, and just looking at the toys and watching people play with the toys. Mm-hmm. I wonder if this is kind of like that to them now, but it's obviously full motion video of the toys in action, and that's what's so exciting about it.
I don't know. I think it's like the little kid's version of watching golf. It's boring as shit unless you're doing it yourself.
They like it.
Oh my God.
Someday she'll listen to this episode when she's like 30 and be like, oh my God, you're right, Mom. That's how it'll go. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I would be interested to hear if any of our listener friends who are parents have had that same experience. Let's go to another caller. Let's see here. Let's go to a story from our paranormal hunter friend, Jill, in Indiana. Hi, Jill. Let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jill from Indiana. I was calling because, of course, I'm always listening to your show. And it made me remember that I forgot to call in a really awesome event that happened right before Halloween. So jumping right into it, for those who don't listen all the time, I am a paranormal investigator. I've been doing this for over 10 years. That being said, I was on an investigation for a business. So, of course, I can't say the name of the business. And this business sells antiques. I know Jenny loves that. And it was a really wonderful old building, lots of really interesting things. And when I go in, my job specifically is audio collection and analysis. So the specific, why we were specifically there was, I didn't ask that. It's not relevant to me. I know some people like that information. I don't. All I knew was the employees had requested that something be done. So there we are. And we had been there for a couple hours. We had one employee with us, a female. And then we ended up connecting with a male employee who had been with another group simply because I wanted to use the restroom, and the restroom that was there for the public use, there was a line. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. And I was like, do you have another restroom, like maybe a secret restroom? Most businesses do. And he said, yeah, you can come use the employee right now. So we go in the employee restroom. I would say this room is probably 5 by 8, not a tiny, tiny room. It had a chair in a corner with a little table with some tissues and some lotion, of course, a toilet, toilet paper, a sink and a mirror. And right next to the sink and the mirror was a small window, and you could see a street light outside. It wasn't very close to the window, but it was giving enough light that I didn't bother turning on the light because I didn't want to ruin my night vision. So I was in the restroom. I set all my equipment down and my audio collection equipment. I use the restroom. Then when I'm washing my hands, this is where it got weird. You know, it's a restroom. Strangely enough, a lot of really crazy stuff happens in restrooms. So I always bring my equipment because it's just crazy that restrooms are almost always on it. So I'm washing my hands, and there's this little mirror, obviously an antique, over the sink. It is kind of square, but the top of it is cut kind of like a shell with three humps. There are flowers etched along the top of the mirror, so that as you're standing at the sink washing your hands, it almost looks like you have these pretty little flowers sitting on top of your head. And I'm kind of looking at it. That's what caught my eye. I was like, oh, that's kind of pretty. It makes you look like you're wearing flowers on your head. and I'm looking at myself. So my face and shoulders fill this small mirror. And as I'm looking at it, admiring the etching, my eyes start to dim out and very quickly turn black. So I know when there's something paranormal happening, I kind of freeze. That's my response. I freeze. I turn the water off. And when I say my eyes went black, I mean the whole socket of your eye. It was as if an angry child took a black smudge stick and colored in your entire eye socket. There was no eyelid, no eyelashes, no eye. But the rest of my face was fully visible due to the light coming in from the window. So, of course, I thought, oh, this is that weird psychomantium effect. I've heard about it on other radio shows and podcasts and so on and so forth. You can look that up yourself. I won't go into it. And so I thought, it's a trick of the light. So I walk over, and I'm talking, start talking to my recorder, and I say, I tell it what's going on. I turn the light on in the bathroom. So now there's full light. I walk back to the sink. I stand very close so that my head's in the same place with the flowers on my head. And I say, okay, little ghosty, if you're trying to scare me out of your bathroom, show it to me again. And I wait. Not rude, not challenging. I said it just like that. And sure enough, full lights on, my eye sockets dim out and go completely coal black. I'm blinking and blinking and blinking, trying to see, can't see anything. I turn my head side to side, and my heart rate is increasing. I've been doing this for 10 years now, and I've never seen this type of effect. This is freaky. This is some paranormal activity, weird movie shit. Even to me, I'm kind of thinking, what kind of ghost can do this? I'm getting scared. I'm turning my head side to side. By now, my compatriots who are waiting on me are like yelling, Jill, how long are you going to be? So I take slow steps away from the sink, and as I back away from the sink, my eyes come back. And I'm like, that is so weird. So I quickly rush back up to the sink, and my eyes are still there. But then if I stand there, they fade away to just black holes in my face. The creepiest thing. So, of course, I run and get my compatriots. I say, I need another person in here now. Just one. And so my friend Christy comes in, and she said, what's going on? I said, paranormal activity. Put your stuff over there. Go to the sink and wash your hands. And she's looking at me out of the corner of her eyes, and she is game for anything. She's great. She's like, is this going to scare the shit out of me? I said, I don't want to tell you anything. Go wash your hands. So she goes and she washes her hands, and she goes, oh, what a pretty little mirror. Same thing I did. And then she stops. Her whole body freezes. And I'm like, I would say on the other side of the room by where that little table was, and I'm just giddy that, oh, it's happening to her. It's happening to her. And I'm watching her whole body change. She shut the water off. And she's turning her head just slightly side to side, same thing I did. And she jumped back away from the mirror and yelled, holy shit. And normal people would be freaked out. I'm freaked out. But I looked at her and I went, just tell me what you saw. And she goes, my eyes disappeared. I said, yes. And she goes, holy shit. And she did it several more times. And then we opened the door. We need another person in here. Give us a man. Well, we actually did it with another woman first. And then same thing happened to that woman. When my friend Christy did it, and of course we did tell anybody what was going to happen. She had stepped a couple paces away from the mirror, just like I had, to try to make her eyes come back. And she turned and looked at me, and she was like, this is so freaky. I wonder what's causing it. Because just like me, we're thinking, is it a trick of the light? Is it the light from the street? There has to be an explanation. And all of a sudden, she jumps and squeals and jumps forward towards the mirror. And she grabs at her back, swinging her arm around, grabs her back. And I jump forward to get close to her, and I'm like, what's going on? And she said, somebody just poked me right in my spine. Like they took one finger, and they jammed their finger right into my spine to push me forward towards the sink. And we all, it was me and her and another woman at that point. I was like, so this is definitely paranormal. That was right at the time when we were saying, this must be a trick of the light, and we were doubting that it was a spirit doing it. And whatever spirit was in that bathroom was saying, oh no, this is me. Which I thought was odd, because if you're changing our faces and trying to scare us away from your mirror, then why would you poke her and push her towards the mirror? The whole thing was creepy, so creepy. We did it with four different people, each time not telling anyone what would happen. And each time the same thing happened. The last person to do it was the female employee, who was an older lady, I would say 65 plus. She was interested in ghosts, but not down for the whole ghost thing. And I told her, I don't know that you can really enjoy this. And she said, well, I want to see what you see. This is the bathroom I use when I work. And we're kind of thinking, oh, then you definitely don't want to see this. She saw it. She jumped and screamed and ran out of the bathroom. So we went and consoled her, told her, you know, so far it hasn't been aggressive or violent. Has that ever happened before? And she said, no, we've never had a problem with that bathroom. That's not why your guys are here. The bathroom is fine, but that mirror is new. They just put the mirror up this week. We didn't have a mirror in there before. The other mirror had cracked. And I was very excited. So the mirror is new, and the mirror is definitely the problem. Anyway, I was really floored, even as an investigator. Just when you think you've seen it all, you really haven't. And there's nothing like seeing your own face change right in front of you. It is extremely disturbing. So get to your local antique store. Get yourself a freaky mirror. Hope you guys had a good holiday. Bye.
And the fun part about that is after I got that story in from Jill, I emailed her and asked her if she could go into the place and get the mirror for us, because I said it would make a perfect gift for you this year. So
I was just going to say, have I mentioned that I hate mirrors? For a variety of reasons.
And what I did with it, I took the mirror and I broke it into a bunch of little pieces and I made a mural.
Okay.
And the mural actually turns into a Ouija board.
Mm. That's a new one, having something change your perception of your own appearance.
That is just like the freaky Instagram filters, or the Snapchat filters.
Yeah, which I saw you were playing with earlier.
But it's real.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's not good.
That is really, really freaky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to make of it. I mean, obviously, you know, I think, you know, if you're in a room and the lighting is bad and it's, you know, one could tell if it's lighting mm-hmm. or not. Like, lighting, it's a trick of the eye. But this just sounds like there's something too different going on here.
Yeah.
That is making this occur. But wow, that is freaky. Thank you for the story, Jill. We appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to another story. Hi.
Hello, Jenny and Tony. My name is Aaron, and I've been listening to your show for a couple of months. And I'm very intrigued by a lot of the stories that I hear. I tend to believe in the paranormal to some extent, and though I haven't had many experiences myself, I've had a couple, and also have a story from someone else that I would like to share. The first story, which happened when I was, I'm 44 now, I was 18, and I was hanging out with friends and co-workers after work one evening. someone's parents were out of town, I believe, and we had a big party. One friend of mine was, I don't know how to what extent, but she dabbled in witchcraft or something, and she had a Ouija board, and, you know, I had never seen or used one before, so she explained how it worked, and, you know, said that, you know, we could try it out. So, I had been drinking quite a lot, and, had a problem back then of, over drinking, not knowing when to stop, and, so I was already pretty out of it by the time we started, playing with the Ouija board, and we started asking it questions, and it responded immediately. I don't remember the kinds of questions that we asked before or after this incident, because I was so fixated. My memory is just, you know, that's all I remember is this particular thing. I had a friend who passed away earlier, maybe 6 months before, in high school, and I asked, you know, once we were getting going with this thing, I asked whatever it was, answering the questions, the name of my friend, and so I said, what about so-and-so, and it spelled out Too New, T-O-O-N-E-W, and first off, I just want to say that the people that I was with at that party didn't even know this person, and probably didn't even know that I had a friend that died. Because of the way it responded, for whatever reason in my mind, I thought this damn ghost knows something about her and it's refusing to tell me. Well, I'm gonna get that ghost, whatever it was. So I became belligerent and I started yelling. I started yelling at the Ouija board and saying, you know, you've got to tell me something about her. I know you know something, you know, something along those lines. And my friend stopped the session. I don't remember how she stopped it, but she stopped it and got really, really serious with me and turned to me and said, you know, you can't talk to spirits that way. You can't get angry with them because they can do things to you. She was like, you know, they can follow you home and make you have a car accident and that sort of thing. So I heeded her warning because she was so adamant about it and got really serious. And you know, I sobered up a little bit later, and because she was concerned about me driving home, not because I had been drinking earlier, but because of this mouthing off to the spirit, she followed me home and in my car, and followed me to make sure that I got home okay. And you know, nothing ever happened after that, but anyway, that was that story. The only other thing that happened to me personally was a few years ago. I guess it was probably 4 years ago. I work at a humane society on the East Coast, and it's in an old building that has been used for other things in history, and I don't know exactly what, some animal related, perhaps maybe farm or something like that, but anything other than that, I'm not sure. Some of the staff had told me that they had experiences and told me a couple stories, and I think I might call back and tell those stories when I get some more information, because I can kind of tell the stories, but it's not, I'd like to just get a little bit more detail about it before I share the stories. But in any case, I had been told these stories and thought it was, you know, interesting, whatever. You know, it's not something that I thought about very often, but I was preparing for a meeting and with two other people, and we were going to meet in a, you know, maybe like 16 by 16 room or something like that, that was for the most part empty, just had a small desk in the corner and some folding chairs. And so I was getting ready for the meeting, and I set the chairs up facing each other, and the people I was having a meeting with, you know, we closed the door, they sat down, I was actually already sitting down, and my chair was facing the corner of the room, not with the door. And they sat down then, and right before, you know, I had a clipboard in my hand, and right before I started to kind of say, okay, you know, whatever, getting the meeting started, I felt this poke on my upper left shoulder, like behind my shoulder. And it was a, you know, when I tell this story, I usually poke the person I'm telling just to show, like, how pokey it was. It was pretty hard. It wasn't like a shove, but it was a full-on poke. And when I've come to think about, like, what else could it have been, like a muscle twitch or something like that, like, it was not anything like that. So when it happened, I jumped up and turned around. And, of course, there was nothing there. I was only, like, 2 feet from the wall. Turned around, and then I told the people that I was in there with what happened, and they were just like, okay, whatever. And then we just sat down and had our meeting and just went along with my business. Anyway, those are the only two stories of little occurrences that I've had. I don't really think that I'm sensitive. I like to think that I could be, or I would kind of like to be sometimes, but, then again, sometimes I hear stories and I'm like, well, maybe it's all for the best. I mean, I definitely get feelings, creepy feelings sometimes around certain places. And, you know, I've avoided places or gotten out of places quick because of those kind of situations. But other than that, yeah, just a regular old normal person. I'll definitely call back for the other couple of stories I have, just so this doesn't go on too long. But I appreciate your show, and keep on doing what you're doing. All right. Have a good day.
It's never a good idea to provoke. I mean, you wouldn't want to do that to a living person, so doing it to a spirit who actually has abilities to do things back is not a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what we talk about quite a bit here on the show, where it's like, would you do it to a person in front of you who's living? If the answer is no, probably not something you want to attempt with the
right.
Undead. Because if they have the ability to communicate with you and you can't see them or hear them all the time and you don't really know what the hell's going on, you also probably don't know what the hell else they could do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little rule of thumb. Thank you for the story and sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over here and hear this story.
Hi, you two. I'm somewhat new to the podcast, and I can't believe it's taken me so long to find you, and I'm so, so glad I have. I love it. I listen to it constantly. In fact, if I'm in the middle of a story and I'm pulling up to work, I'll just drive really slow and wave people around me so I can finish the story. And so I'd like to share something, and but I'd like to touch upon a few of your callers who have discussed that they've always kind of felt sensitive, but also anxious about it, depressed, not really quite understanding what was going on for most of their lives, no one really to talk to, which is kind of how I felt for most of my early life until my mid-20s, when I had an experience that just kind of pushed me into the really being open world, and that's where I've been for almost 30 years now. But anyways, the story begins actually with a wreck, and this occurred in Cincinnati. I now live in Louisiana, but this occurred in Cincinnati, middle of the day. I was coming home from an appointment at a stoplight, and this car, I can just see my rear view mirror, becomes slow motion almost as this car realizes it's about to just plow into me and just puts on the brakes and just plows into my car, crushing the rear of my car. Luckily, neither of us were hurt. We're very lucky about that. But I did start to feel some like strain, you know, feelings in my spine and neck and, you know, a little just literally off kilter from it for the rest of the day. So that evening, I'm at home, and I had lived in this old apartment building that had been renovated, hotel rooms, an old hotel from the turn of the century where lots of people had talked about and rumors about activity and hauntings and all this crazy stuff. And so that evening after the wreck, I was in bed. I went to bed about 1 a.m., you know, typical early 20s, I guess, college student time. And I remember looking at my clock and it was 1:11 a.m. And I close my eyes and all of a sudden I'm awake and I see this black woman, this African-American woman clutching a baby by the foot of my bed. And they were both naked and she's clutching and she's looking at me. And I try to move and I can't. And then I start hearing this noise. Almost like the sound where you're about to take off in a plane or you're in a wind tunnel, that kind of just like really loud whooshing noise. And then all of a sudden, all these hands grab at me, just grab all over. And this woman and this child are looking at me. I feel these hands and I hear this loud whooshing noise. And then I start to feel this really strange sensation. My body literally starts to like snake, like undulate up and down, up and down. And it feels like I'm not even on my bed anymore. I can't even feel my own bed, but I can't move. I'm on my back and I'm like starting to panic and I'm so afraid because this woman, this baby, these hands, this really loud whooshing noise and this feeling of undulating. And let me say, I had two other roommates at the time who were both home and so they never heard anything as I found out the next morning. But anyway, so I'm panic. I'm just so scared and I can't move. And all of a sudden I forced to roll over onto my side or just break the spell or whatever it was. And all of a sudden I'm free. And in the meantime, doing so though, I had strained abdominal muscles, so it really hurt. And I sit up and it's exactly 2:11 a.m. And of course I couldn't sleep the rest of the night. And I talked to my roommates about the next morning. They hadn't heard anything and they just kind of dismissed it as as me being who I am. And so from that point on though, I've had multiple experiences and visions and sights and sounds and all that stuff. But I just want to share that story because that's the story kind of just like launched me into who I am today. And I love hearing the stories. I love people's experiences and I love the forum that you offer that's so non-judgmental and open, and I appreciate what you do. Thank you.
So I know that the accident was, it sounds like it was pretty severe, but not, I don't know, life-threatening, but if everything started with the accident, could it have been because it was like a near-death experience? Or, you know, I think sometimes too, injury can bring on sensitivity as well.
Mm-hmm. I think when you start venturing into that territory, anything is possible as long as it's like to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what it is, you know. Obviously, you anything from simply running into something without injury and endorphins and all your, you know, body trying to adjust for that to serious injury and then body trying to adjust for that and so many other things, I think it starts to push you into kind of a level and an area that you may otherwise not be in,
mm-hmm.
Sensitivity-wise. And I think sometimes we touch on some of those areas and it opens doors at a certain point.
Okay.
For lack of a better term.
Sure.
I don't know. That was probably a really horrible way of explaining it. But did I make any sense at all?
Yeah. I think so.
Tony just nods. And yes. Sure you did, Tony. Perfectly sensible. Yes, yeah. Exactly what you said. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, you want to keep us on the air, become an EPP extra podcast person. Gets all the bonus episodes of the show. There's like 120 some up there now of EPP bonus episodes. Exclusive ones that have fallen off of iTunes. All sorts of great stuff up there. Exclusive video and more. And that really is what keeps this show fueled. So $5 a month is all it is. Or you can sign up for a full year. Get 1 month free out of that. And a bunk bed bill when you sign up at ghostpodcast.com. So check that out. Greatly appreciate that. And all the support we get online and the tweets and the chats and the whatever you want to call them. What do you call a post on like a Snapchat?
I don't know.
A chat? A snap?
I have no idea.
Oh, here I am being dumb again. Anyway, we appreciate it. So check us out on social media. At Ghost Story Radio on Twitter, at Ghost Podcast on Instagram, and at Ghost Podcast on Snapchat. And of course, we're on Facebook as well. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.